Okay, we've had a long conversation about Wolf Brand Chili, so now we can get started. All right. Crane Christian Church, this is Sunday School, and we are seeking wisdom this morning. Proverbs chapter 11. As I was studying this again this week, this first verse, and I'm going to go ahead and read a good bit before I stop, in Proverbs chapter 11, I remember this as a child, actually. Somebody talking about this as a child and somebody explaining what this meant. So we'll get to that. Does it matter what we teach our children?
Yes.
Okay. So every once in a while, I'll have a memory and it'll come back to me that I think, you know, that scripture has affected me in a good way, okay? So we'll talk about that later. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be taken down by their own lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hopes of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes on the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. That's the first 11 verses. And in the NIV, in 11:1, it says, "The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight." So guys, let's talk about that first one a minute. Nobody's perfect. Everybody with me on that? Including us, them, nobody's perfect. Okay, whoever them is, whoever we are. But the bottom line is this: God has called us, remember, to be salt, to be light, to be this preservation and vision to this age. And in the last couple of years, I've spent a little time out at night. And it's not that I'm getting old, but I am older, okay? Well seasoned, thank you. Got a little shipping and handling on me, okay? But here's the deal. The bottom line is, it really, when you get out of that car at night and you're talking to somebody or you're doing something, looking for somebody in the woods that has run away, different things through the last couple of years, it really helps to have a good light. When it's dark, and I can tell you, in them hills, when you get away from the farms where there's lights, you know, spread out a little bit on the place, when you get down them gravel roads and there's nothing there, you're thankful for them headlights. You're thankful for those spotlights. You're thankful for those things, okay? I want to make sure that you guys understand what I'm talking about. Because being a light does not mean looking for that splinter in your eye with a telephone pole sticking out of mine. Now that's, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because I'm paraphrasing another scripture. But essentially, we want to be careful that we're not trying to get the mote, I think they out of this person's eye, this little thing, while we've got this big thing sticking out of our eye, okay? But as Christians, we can be light, and that light has a name. and his name is Jesus. And what I want to just emphasize this morning is it's not, well, you know, I've got the answer for this and I've got the answer for that and that. Because when we do that, people's brain shuts off. Because there's a lot of information out there right now. We got an election in this county Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. There's a lot of information, okay? Is it all accurate? I'm not saying anything other than there's a lot of information. And we're gonna have a federal election before long because you know the Fed's got everything right, okay? And there's a lot of information out there. There's all these experts, which we had, and when I was teaching at the police academy full-time years ago, I will never forget this guy coming in. He says, you know, there's a lot of experts. And the definition of an expert is a has-been, which is an ex, has-been drip under pressure, an expert, okay? And we got a lot of experts. Or it's someone who's more than 25 miles away from their home with a briefcase and a sport coat, okay? Or maybe those cool vests. I mean, we could get some legitimate gold chains and vests, okay? Yeah. Okay, but the point being is this, there's a lot of information out there, but how, let's be honest, let's tell the truth, okay? I say these words a lot, at work, at home, at here, I don't know. Can we look at, we need to check, I don't know. I don't have to have all the answers. I know who has the, I'm gonna tell you where I went to the answer last night, where I went to the answer this morning, and where I'll be going to the answer later today is to Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven. We'll be praying that in a little while. That's where the answers are. I look up for my answers, not, yeah, okay. So, we got a lot of experts. And then it says, but a just weight, accurate weight, are his delight. In other words, he loves it when we are accurate, fair, loving to each other. And I want to tell you, I was Romans is wearing me out. But anyway, the point being is this, I was back in it last night. But you know, Corinthians, the love chapter, we've read it 1,000 times, all of us have, we've heard it or read it 1,000 times. We can be doing really good stuff, but without love, it's just, you're just banging on a cymbal. You're just making a racket. And is there a lot of racket today? Okay, let's put a little love in there, okay? And you say, well, you're wearing a Canadian tuxedo and you're talking about love. Before long, you'll be holding hands, singing Kumbaya. Okay. Anyway, but here's the deal. When pride comes, then comes shame. And this is my illustration on pride. They love it when I put it right here. It looks like it's going to spill any minute. Okay, this is my illustration on pride. So when I walk, I try to pay attention to where I'm going. There's a reason for that, okay? Because I could trip, I could step on a snake, okay? Step on somebody else's foot. There's all kind of things you could do, right? Okay, or there may be a quarter on the ground, praise God, okay? Or a penny, you know, whichever. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, if I am, just remember this illustration. If I am walking like this with my nose in the air, I'm going to fall because I'm not looking. And how many of you know God's faithful? And he'll be faithful. There'll be a limb in the path because he's going to teach you that walking with your nose up in the air is not a good idea because I want to tell you something. I am not better than anybody. Now, I'm going to tell you what I am, though. I'm chosen, selected, preordained, predestined. I'm adopted into the family of God, and it's in spite of me. He loves me, and I holler about it about every couple of days, okay, usually when I'm by myself, okay, because it scares people, okay. But the point being is I want to tell you, that's not making me great. That is bringing glory to God. He is the one who did that, paid the price. And I want to tell you, if you're looking up, make sure you're looking up at him, not with your nose up in there saying, look how great I am, okay? Does everybody remember that when you walk? Because he will put a limb in your path, I can promise you, okay? Because, you know, some of us have all the answers. Okay. But when pride comes, there comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. I want to tell you, I got a wake-up call several years ago. I was all dressed up to go to a speaking engagement. It was the first graduation of drug court in Christian County, the first one. So it would probably be about 2002 or 2003. So I wore my good boots. I wore my coat, and I thought, you know, I'll be impressing these people with my, you know, I'm so smart. And I had struggled that morning with, because they didn't want me to give the full meal deal. They just wanted me kind of like, give them a snippet, okay? They didn't want the 35-minute version, okay? They wanted more of the 5-minute version. And so I was kind of struggling, you know, with what I was going to say. But I thought it was a pretty big deal. So I walked out, went to get in my car. There was ice on the ground, fell down, got wet, rolled around a little bit, got up. And that, if you don't think that was bad enough, we have cameras right there. And someone saw it, who then thought it would be a good idea to, you know, we have the ability to save that and maybe play it over and over and over, maybe put music to it. I mean, who knows what all happened to that? It may still be on YouTube. I don't know. But the point being is this. I got in the car and I said, well, now I've just got stupid stuff on my nice pants and my, you know. And God spoke to me. He said, you're going to go to some people who have failed over and over, who have fallen. And I have a message for you to tell them. That message is, don't stay there. We all fall. We all come short of the glory of God. Don't stay there. Keep moving. Get up and keep going toward the prize. So anyway, yeah, I was humbled that day. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. I want to tell you, God has called us to be faithful. You ain't going to be perfect. Has everybody got me? You ain't going to be perfect. That's not good English, but that is accurate. Okay, let's do it like this. You are not going to be perfect, okay? Because this is religion. I'll just describe it to you very quickly. Religion means I'm going to look perfect all the time. If it stinks, I'm going to cover it up, okay? If it's not pretty, I'm going to veneer over it. Okay, I'm going to cover it. I'm going to do shell games. We'll do it. And remember what Jesus, when he's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people in the temple, he said, these guys, they got long prayers they're saying out here, but they're stealing widows' homes. Remember that? Okay. And I did the deep dive on that many years ago. And that was just once again about greed, about, you know, all those things. And they're saying these long prayers, but they're doing it for everybody to hear them, and they're getting everything they're going to get from people hearing them. I'm not listening, right? So, but the bottom line is this, guys. Let's, instead of being religious, let's have a relationship and being tied to the vine, okay? And as we receive his forgiveness, guess what happens? I've been done wrong once or twice, maybe, okay? I forgive them because guess what? My wallet's got forgiveness in it because I've received that. But if I can't own up to the fact that I need forgiveness, then when you do something wrong, then, right? And the bottom line is, I'm forgiven. And I want to tell you, I forgive. I choose to because I have forgiveness in me because I've received it. And the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Now, guys, the reason that they do front-end alignments on cars is pretty simple. If it's pointing the wrong way and you're going forward, it's going to wear out your tires. And then if you keep going, you're going to be down to the rims, okay? And I don't know if you've ever driven on the rims, okay? I have for short distances. But the bottom line is that's not the best way to drive, okay? So God wants to give us a front-end alignment so that we are, as we're going in the right direction, our flesh and our spirit is lined up with what he wants, okay? And is it ever going to be perfect? No, there's always going to be a little flop, 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 flop as we drive, okay? But the bottom line is this. He is calling us with that communion to be the men and women he's called us to be. And it's not always, getting there is not always pretty. Did you know that? I was, studying this week, and he was talking about, this particular guy was actually talking about Paul's words when he's talking about, you know, this suffering is doing something in me. It's not wasted. I'm learning this, and then from that I'm learning this, and from that I'm learning this. That's also in Romans. And guys, if you're suffering this morning, I want you to understand that as a dad, okay, I'll use me as the kid because it's actually a better illustration. I may be a little bit strong-willed, just possibly around the edges. And I was an only child for the first 8 years, which means I'll always be an only child psychologically. So at 5 or 6, my parents are taking me to the doctor. And the last time I'd been to the doctor, I'd gotten a shot. So I determined in my mind, heart, and spirit, I was never going to the doctor again. And when I was 5 and 6, I was about the same height as everybody else and about 50 pounds heavier. And I was like a bowling ball with arms and legs. And I was very hard to control, okay? And so my dad would have to take the day off of work and with my mom and sometimes granny. Sometimes it took all three of them to get me out of the car into the doctor, okay? And here's the deal. They would trick me, and they said, we're going to get ice cream, which was one of my favorite meals. And so they would get close to the – and I'm 5 years old, so evidently I was not geographically challenged. As we got close to what I would recognize the doctor's office, I'd start trying to get out of the car. Now, I remember snippets of this, but most of it's been told to me in oral tradition, okay, and laughing at me as an adult. But the bottom line is this, guys. It took all three of them to get me in there, and I want to tell you, at least two, sometimes three. But the point being is this, guys. Were they doing that for my bad?
No.
Were they mad at me?
No.
Were they? No, because you got to have them shots to go to school, or used to, or I don't know if you still do or not, whatever. They were worming me or whatever all they do. But, I mean, and I didn't like it, okay? I didn't know them people. I didn't want them touching me, okay? And evidently they got little needles they stick you with. And then I was introduced to the dentist. Which was worse. And I'm sure he's a great man, you know. And of course they lied to me and they say, just shut your eyes now, we're gonna put some magic medicine in there and that'll make it feel better. And then he'd rub his finger in there and then he'd hit me with that shot. But anyway, same amount of people to get me in the chair and stay in there. And I'm better now, by the way, just as long as, you know, it only takes one person. No, I'm just kidding. So, were they doing that because they hated me?
No.
So if you're going through something today, guys, remember, there's always something going on in the spirit. There's always something going on in the flesh, okay? And then we're also, we have our inheritance all the way from Adam and Eve, and then we've got the stuff that we've planted and grown up. So there's always more going on than you just recognize. Does that make sense? So, but all things are working together for who? To love him and are called to his purpose. And I'm going to tell you, I love him. And if we're, let's be faithful. Okay, so verse 4, I need to hear myself, because, you know, I may be a little tight, just slightly, just around the edges. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. I want to tell you that, let's think about it this way. I was praying about this last night, thinking about it. Let's go back to the 50s, when my parents, I was born in the 50s. Actually, early 60s is when this, I actually have some vague memory of this. My parents, think about it, they were raised dirt floors, a path, you know, path means an outhouse, okay. Daddy said you could always tell when people move to town, they start going to the bathroom in the house and cooking outside. So, talking about people grilling or what. But anyway, Mom said you could always tell when you got to Missouri because they took their clothes off and put their shoes on. Okay, because, you know, she's old-time Pentecost, and she didn't go for that. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, back in those days, it was all about your house, okay? Keeping up with your neighbor's house, okay? The car, keeping up your neighbor's car, okay? And we kind of learned in generation of working hard and you know, doing this and looking good and looking good and keeping up with the Joneses. And we've kind of laughed at that through the years, but we can do it in a different way. We do it in a different way. And every culture does it in a different way. But here's the deal. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the presence of people who were, I'm just going to use this word, financially secure. They was going through something either in their health, their family, something that money didn't make any difference. Does that make sense? It doesn't make any, because here's the deal. It's nice to be able to pay the bills, keep the lights on. It's nice to be able to do this. But the bottom line is, there is a time on the day of wrath that's not going to help. But righteousness delivers from death. And I've told you this in the last few weeks. Guys, I've been to hospital and visited people where they were in bad shape and I was dreading going. I didn't know what to say. And I was going through something myself, and I'd get there and they would encourage me. Because what happened is all that other stuff has been peeled back, and all that, this is it right here for them. And then they point me in that direction. You know, that's a great thing for pastors to say, but it's the bottom line, it's truth. And I love the fact that on the day of wrath, we have somewhere to go, don't we? When things aren't going the way we want, when people come to me with this problem, I'm just going to call it family, it's generally family problems, okay? Or general health problems, or they're concerned or anxiety problems about what's going on around them, or there's this, that I could point them always to the same thing. It's not your rightness, it's his rightness. Receive that robe of rightness and then start walking like you're wearing a rightness, okay? Because listen, we've all done this. We like sheep have what? All gone astray. And listen, I love the Bible. The reason I love the Bible, it shows people warts and all. And I was doing a study, we'll talk about it later, it's in the next hour. But the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, because we can focus on him, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Now let's talk about the depression. That was for, think about it, guys. We had people, and if I misspeak, I apologize, but I think I've got this straight. We had people that come off the farm, okay, that had very little, okay. Then we go into the mechanized age where they're making a wage. They turn a tap and the water comes out, you know, most of the time. They've got flush commodes. They've got, you know, they got this stuff, and it's like, wow. And this, our country is going like this, growing, and there's all this hope and all this positive, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out, doesn't it? And those people, this is what my dad used to actually say from the pulpit. He said, those people's hope was in the economic system of their day. And those people's hope was in it and didn't have their hope in Jesus. And listen, I want the dollar to do well. I want my retirement to do well. I want all that. But the bottom line is this, as Merle Haggard would say, that so-called Social Security. Anyway, but whatever. The point being is I want all that to work. But the bottom line is my hope is not in that. Essentially, my hope is in who holds all of this, the creator of both heaven and earth. And he is my righteousness. He is my righteousness. And he has given me that robe. I got the wedding garment on. Hey, if this won't start today, hey, I'm up for it. And I don't even care what's on the menu. I mean, the marriage supper of the Lamb, hey, I have no special dietary requirements. I'm ready. So, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be taken by their own lust. In other words, when those people, when that economic system, when what they were focused on collapsed, then there's people jumping off buildings. There were people that were going completely berserk. And here's the deal. Things don't always go my way. I know that's shocking to you, okay? And if people would just do what I tell them to do, things would be better. And I keep telling people that, and I haven't been real successful with that strategy. But anyway, but the part, also the other thing I want to say about the righteousness, the word righteousness, is let's call it rightness, okay? And guess what? As we follow his word, this is the path to rightness. And when it tells me to love my neighbor as I love myself, that's irritating. No, I'm serious. And I'm not saying that to be, it's irritating. But the truth is, when I focus literally, oh man, I can't believe that happened to me. And all of a sudden, my focus goes over to somebody else and what they're going through, and I begin to pray for them and to seek God for them, you're not going to believe what happens. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. It changes. Can you see that? It changes. Because God made us to be that way. And when we pervert that truth of the body, I'm talking about the body of Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, your focus needs to be on the body of Christ, not in the mirror, which is, ooh. Well, you know, when you got a mustache like this, you have to be careful. It will take over your face. Anyway. But anyway, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. And here's the deal, guys. God knows what he's doing. And when I saw this first 40 years ago, it shook me. Because I literally thought, as an only child, as somebody who really likes themselves, I really thought it always kind of revolved around me. And it's all going to happen in my generation. It was all, you know, is it this. And I saw the way God, I made this crazy mistake and started really studying the Bible. And what happens is this. Guess what? God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God, and I actually went through both genealogies of Mary and Joseph this morning. That's another story. But as I go, listen, God had a plan. Jesus was coming. Think with you as the redneck that was six generations back saying, why am I going through this? That may be you. But guess what? Jesus is coming again. And he is working through his body. And maybe slightly irritating to you the way he's doing that. But guess what? God's got a plan. And he knows what he's doing. So, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Verse 9. That'd be a good tattoo. Okay. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Are you tired of destroying your neighbor? I was kidding about the tattoo. Okay. Of course, we can fix you up with that if you need it. But the point being is, don't quit. Stop standing on people's head to make yourself 6 inches taller. Stop. It matters what comes out of your mouth. You know, it, and because there's this universal truth. Every religion, I'm not kidding. Study it. It'll scare you. What? Not just Christianity. Every religion says the same thing. Every major religion says, guess what? God goes around, comes around. Now, that's not the King James Version, but guess what? When I'm sweet to you, I'm planting seeds that comes back sweet to me. And you go, what? No, I'm telling you, whatever you plant, you will reap. And so shut your mouth, okay? Shut your mouth and quit running people down. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything. Never mind. We'll just keep moving. So, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. You know, it could have been the heathen. It could have been whatever. But it uses the word hypocrite. Okay? And David likes to talk about this, which that the way that we used to have plays, we didn't have about three or four people in the whole play, but everybody had a different mask and they would play this role and play this role. So what role are you playing? Are you playing the grace, the mercy, the love of God? Or is that what you want to represent? Or do you want to represent you? Look how pretty I am. Look at this. Look at that guy's, you know, it's like when I was in school, every time they got on me, I said, well, Sally's doing something. Look at them. Look over there. That's what we're doing. And actually, I didn't do that much, but the unfaithful will be taken by their own lusts. With his mouth destroys his neighbor. Through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. We're going to start with 10 next week. And guys, I want to tell you, these are words of wisdom. And they're words of wisdom because they are God-breathed. And I just want to put this right on the end and I'll quit. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. And one of the things that we, for this recently, God has stirred up in my mind is not, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about, well, this says, you know, we need to wear a hat in church. Or that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God-breathed roadmap to him, which is hope, help, and home. And thank you so much for watching this morning. Thanks for being here in person. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. And Lord, I pray that you take these simple words from your word and put them deep in our heart as seeds, that they would grow and become fruit. And that's fruit of rightness with you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I appreciate my salvation this morning that you paid for, that we're going to celebrate in a few minutes, Lord, that you paid the price for me. Thank you, sir. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you.